Proverbs chapter 4. Bible says this, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." And we'll read some more in just a minute. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. I pray that you teach us some things, Lord. We need you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word bringeth light. And Lord, we need this. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. And help me as I teach. Help the folks as they listen. Just speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 4, there's a couple dominant themes throughout this chapter, and we won't probably have time to cover them all. We will cover chapter 4 today and move on after today through chapter 4. But I want you to notice the first four verses, some things that Solomon stresses here, and he's kind of stressing these first four verses, the importance of good teaching, all right? The importance of good teaching. I want you to notice, first of all, is that the teaching of the right things, okay? Notice what he says in verse 1 and 2. Let me read these to you again. "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." And then in verse 11, if you skip on down, here's what Solomon says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in the right paths." And it's important that we understand about the teaching of the right things. That word doctrine there, when he says, "I give you good doctrine," that word doctrine means mental instruction. Okay, and so when he says here, what kind of instruction am I giving you? He says this, "I'm giving you good doctrine, good teaching, good instruction." And here's a question for us all, what kind of things are we teaching? That's a good question for us to just kind of step back and look at our lives. What kind of things are we teaching? By the way, everybody is teaching something. Okay, that's true. Whether or not you're a school teacher or you have a position of a Sunday school teacher or whatever, you say, "Well, I'm not a teacher." Actually, that's not true. We're all teachers. We all teach things. We teach by what we say. We teach by what we do. We teach by what we don't say. We teach by what we don't do. All of us are teaching something. And the Bible is challenging us here is to make sure that the things we're teaching, are they in the way of wisdom? Are we teaching and leading in the right paths? I read an illustration this week, and it kind of spurred from, for graduation, someone gave Gracie, my daughter graduated from kindergarten, a $2 bill. And if you look on the back of the $2 bill, you'll see a picture of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And when I was in Washington, D.C. back in March for the Capitol Connection, we were in the Capitol building, and the same picture that is etched on the back of a $2 bill, you'll see that same picture on the wall in the rotunda building there. The big rotunda on the wall is that painting right there. And it's a picture of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Amongst those men, there was only one pastor of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. His name was John Witherspoon. After pastoring a number of years in Scotland, John Witherspoon came to America to become president of the College of New Jersey, now known as Princeton University. In addition to pushing for independence from England and signing the Declaration of Independence, Witherspoon would go on to serve as a member of Congress for a number of years. But his most lasting contribution to our nation may well have been the impact he had on the lives of his students. Witherspoon was not just an administrator, he proved to be one of the school's most popular teachers. His class, Moral Philosophy, emphasized the Christian foundation of all truth in every sphere of life. By the way, this was a public university, now known as Princeton. I guarantee you there's not even anything near what John Witherspoon taught at Princeton today. In fact, I don't know if you read it this week or not, but at Harvard, I believe, they were going to do, and they did not end up doing it because of the people actually protesting it, but they were going to actually reenact a black satanic mass on the campus of Harvard University. Enough people protested it where they moved it off campus. But folks, that's not the same thing that was just a few hundred years ago in our nation. John Witherspoon taught there at Princeton University. Among his pupils Now notice this. We're three Supreme Court justices, more than 75 senators and congressmen, 10 cabinet officials, one vice president, and one president. As an educator, his focus on the foundational role of scriptural truth profoundly impacted his students who would influence the nation. Now, folks, you know what? We may not have the position that John Witherspoon had, okay? But may I say this? What you're teaching to those that God has put under your authority is very important. Each one of us have influence over others far beyond what we realize. We must make sure that we're teaching what the Bible says here is good doctrine. Good doctrine. We teach with our words. We teach with our actions. We teach with our attitude. We teach with almost every aspect of our lives. And it's important as Christians, no matter who we are, that we teach the right things. Not only do we see the teaching of the right things here, but we also see the learning of the right things. Look at verse 3. Listen to what he says here. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Notice this first phrase here in verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. You see, Solomon, before he could teach the right things, he was taught the right things. He learned the right things. Now, you may or may not have been taught the right things by your parents growing up. By the way, you didn't get to choose who your parents were. God chose that for you. And not everybody gets the same opportunity to learn the certain things growing up. Okay, not everybody has that same opportunity. But may I say this? All through life, God is trying to constantly teach you things. And God is not so much interested in what your past has been. God's interested in what you're doing from this point forward. And let me tell you something that's true. You will never be a good Christian if you do not have a teachable spirit. Okay, we must be able to learn. Okay, look, what matters to God is whether or not now in your life you are allowing Him to teach you things and make you the person that He wants you to be. Because God has all kinds of things that He wants to teach us. Okay, life is just basically a big school. All right. Every day we ought to be learning something in life. Okay. And so there's some things God specifically wants us to learn. I looked up that phrase, learn, and I found a few specific things in the Bible that God wants us specifically to learn. Now, there's all kinds of things God wants us to learn, and we need to learn many things. But here's a few specific things found in the Bible that God says, I want you to learn this. Okay. First of all, and we've talked about this before, but it's important how God reemphasizes things. Okay, I've said this before. If God says something one time, it's very important. Okay, I mean, if it's said in the Bible, we ought to take heed to it. It's important. If God says it one time, it's important. But if God repeats Himself, let me tell you something. It's not just important. It's really, really important. Okay? And there's certain things in the Bible God emphasizes over and over and over and says, listen, get this, get this, get this, get this. And we're going to see that in just a minute. But let me show you here some specific things that God wants us to learn. All right? Number one, God wants us to learn to fear God. Okay? And we talked about this before. Okay? Let me just read a couple verses to you here. By the way, these are even outside of Proverbs. And honestly, we could take a whole Bible study on this whole thing about fearing God. But we've talked about it before. But let me just read some verses to you here. All right? Deuteronomy 4:10 says this. Specifically, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. This is Moses instructing the nation of Israel here. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children also. Did you hear that? God says you need to learn to fear me, and the reason you need to learn to fear me so you can teach your children to fear me. Let me tell you why we have a generation of people that don't fear God, because before we had a generation who did not teach their children to fear God. And it's important as Christians that we learn what it is to fear God. Deuteronomy 14:23, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And as Christians, we better understand what this fear of God thing is. Okay, and like I said, I'm not going to reteach that. I just taught that in the recent past. But it's important that we learn to fear God. Okay, very important. Not only that, the Bible says, big surprise, right? We need to learn the Word of God. Okay, here's what he says. Deuteronomy 5:1, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them." Psalm 119:71, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Psalm 119, verse 73, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." It's important as Christians that we learn the Word of God. Now, we're not born with the natural inclination to know the Word of God. We're not born that way. We've got to learn it. We've got to make sure that we take specific time and ingrain it into our lives. Now, all of us learn certain things. I mean, all of us like to learn things that interest us. Let me tell you what needs to interest us all as Christians, the Word of God. We need to learn the Word of God, okay? The Bible talks about that we need to be grounded, okay? And there's different levels of that. When you're first saved, the Bible says that the Word of God's like milk. As sincere babes desire the milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. But as you go on, folks, I mean, I don't think any of us are going to go home and just have for lunch today a bottle of milk. Okay? In fact, I hate milk, okay? I eat my cereal dry. I can't stand drinking milk in my cereal even. And I like ice cream and yogurt, but I don't like milk, all right? A lot of you do. I know Brother Bud, that they drink a lot of milk at their house, about a gallon a day, I think, all right? But not me. I don't like milk. But listen, as Christians, the Word of God, when we're first saved, is like milk. But then it goes on to be more than that. Okay, the Word of God needs to be meat for us. It needs to be substance for us. Okay, you're never going to grow if you just have a diet of milk. You got to have substance. And as you mature as a Christian, the Word of God becomes meat. It becomes substance. And God says, "Learn my word. Learn my word." Now let me just tell you this, Blessed Old Baptist Church. When we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, you go to Blessed Old Baptist Church, you will have no excuse. No excuse. You know why? Because the Word of God is taught here. And God says when it's taught, you need to learn it, okay? So we need to learn to fear God. We need to learn the Word of God. Here's one. We need to learn to be like Jesus. Mark 11:29 says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Our pastor has kind of said it, kind of maybe the unspoken motto, the underlying motto of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is this. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus, amen? And we need to learn to be like Jesus. Now, will we ever be like Jesus Christ? Not until the day we enter glory, amen? All right, but until then, we need to learn to be like Christ. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you're going to learn to be like Jesus when you spend time with Jesus. Okay, and by the way, we can spend time with him every day. All right, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I believe that ought to be a part of your Bible reading often. Okay, not just once a year as you read through your Bible, but often. Matthew, Mark, learn to see what Jesus did. Learn to see how Jesus reacted in certain situations. Learn to think how he thinks. Learn to feel how he felt. Okay, learn to be like Jesus. By the way, that's a learning process. Once again, all these things I'm telling you, we got to learn. You've got to, on purpose, decide you're going to learn them. Okay? I mean, hey, learning's hard work, isn't it? I mean, have you ever tried to study for a hard test or tried to learn a different language or learn something for a new job or something? Listen, that doesn't come natural. It takes hard work to learn some things. But God says, these are the things I want you to learn. Not only that, the Bible said tells us to learn to do good works. Titus 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. Listen to me, folks. That's what being a Christian is all about. Is learning to, with our lives, do good things for others. Now, we've said it before, we're not part of the crowd that believes you got to work your way to heaven. Amen? Salvation is by grace through faith alone. But let me say this, you're not saved by good works, but once you're saved unto good works. That means Christians need to go around doing good. Hey, listen to this testimony of what it said about Jesus here in Acts 10:38. How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power. By the way, God's done the same thing for us. Anointed us through the Holy Ghost with power, okay, who went about doing good. Who went about doing good. And you know what? If that's the testimony of Jesus, and if I'm to be like Jesus, then you know what my testimony needs to be? I go about doing good. What good thing did you do this week for somebody? Did you do anything good for anybody this week besides yourself? We're all good at doing good for ourselves. How about for others? I mean, if we were to keep a written record every week of what we did good for somebody else, how big would that record be? All right? Just a challenge there. All right? Learn to do good works. Okay? So there's some things here that Solomon had to learn before he could teach them. Okay? And if you're going to be a good teacher, folks, you've got to be a good learner. Okay? So we learned about the teaching of good things. We learned here just about the learning of good things. Okay? And then the majority of the rest of the time, I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about the getting of the right things. All right? Let's read verses 5 through 10 together. All right? Are y'all warm in here? Is it feel warm? Okay, Brother Tim, can somebody help me in the back? Let's get the air going in the back there. Just flip the air on. Let's make sure it's down to about 66. I'm going to turn this one on for you real quick. All right. It's already 66 in here, and I'm still hot, okay? So we'll crank it down a little bit and get it a little cooled off for you. Okay, now, let's talk about here the getting of the right. By the way, when we came in here this morning at about 7 o'clock, it was like 57 degrees, you know, so we kick a little heat on. Y'all have warmed it up in here, okay? I don't know if it's all that gabbing before church or what's going on, but y'all have warmed it up in here, okay? All right, let's read verses 5 through 10, all right? Chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. Notice the wording here. By the way, man, I love, as I'm studying Proverbs, I love the words God uses here. And if you read through here, you'll notice a lot of action verbs. Okay? I like that about the Bible. It moves us to action. Okay? It moves us to action. Here we go, verses 5 through 10. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And then hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. All right, now notice here, once again, I want you to notice the action verbs here. Our attitude, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the right things, all right? Here's the first thing, all right? And we saw this word repeated a couple times. Here it is. You ready? Get it. That's what God says. Get it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Verse 7. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You know what God says here? You better get it. You better get it. By the way, God wouldn't tell us to get something if it wasn't attainable for us to have. Okay? God says, look, I'm going to offer you wisdom. Now, I'm offering it to you. You need to get it. Okay? How many times have I been teaching algebra class or geometry class and looked at the teens and say, hey, do you get it? Come on now, you get it? Open up your mind, get it, all right? And I wish sometimes I could just zip their skin off their head and pump it in their brain for them. Obviously, you can't do that, all right? But you know what God's saying to us? Hey, when it comes to wisdom, you need to get it, okay? And by the way, notice what he says here. It's the principal thing. That word principal means it's at the top of the rank. And God says, let me tell you what needs to be the top of the rank in your life. It needs to be you getting wisdom. It's important that you get it. Okay? Now listen to me, folks. There's so many reasons to get wisdom. So many reasons to get it. Okay? And I'll show you some more here. Okay? But I want you to get this. God wants to get it. When it comes to wisdom, get it. All right? Number two, forget it not. Forget it not. Now here's the thing. We can't afford to forget something so valuable as wisdom. We can't afford to forget it. By the way, it takes time to seek, to find wisdom, to search it out, and to get it. It's so important. Before we studied out the value of it. So when I get it, God says, when you get it, don't forget it. Don't forget it. Now, if you're like me, what are the things that we tend to forget? The things that aren't very important to us. Right? Those are the things we tend to forget. Now, God says when it comes to wisdom, you can't afford to forget it. Now, I don't know about you. My mind is a bizarre thing, okay? It works certain ways, and I'm good at memorizing some things, but I'm not good at memorizing other things. All right, for example, all right, and I told you last week how of a hypochondriac I was when I was a kid. Okay, remember I told you that story last week? Well, I did some other weird things when I was a kid. I'm not going to tell you everything weird I did, but I'll tell you a few things, all right? I had this thing about memorizing numbers, okay? And I would just, I don't know why I would do this, but I would sometimes just, I would see a group of numbers and I would memorize those numbers. And when I was a kid, I promise you, I was probably only 7 or 8 years old. I memorized a sequence of 33 numbers, okay? That was weird. I don't know why 33, okay? But I've never forgotten those numbers, ever, okay? And I can, without even thinking, I can rattle off to you 33 numbers that I memorized when I was 8 years old that I've known for my whole life since I've been 8. I've never forgotten. I never will forget them. They're burnt into my brain. So if I tell them to you, you'll know all the passcodes to all my accounts online, all right? So I can't get them to you, all right? But I memorized these numbers, okay? And it was kind of weird why I did that. All right? I haven't forgot that. But I've noticed sometimes in life when I memorize things, I don't remember. For example, I'm horrible at this. When I'm soul winning and I ask somebody their name and they give me their name, I don't remember their name. It's so horrible. I mean, I'll knock on their door and introduce myself and I'll say, "What's your name?" And then 3 seconds later, I can't remember it, okay? And it's so weird how your mind works sometimes. But here's the thing, okay? When it comes to wisdom, you can't afford to forget it, okay? So how do I keep from forgetting? Well, you familiarize yourself with it so much that it's burned into your mind. Okay, just like when I was a kid, those stupid number thing I memorized, okay? I repeated them to myself so much until they were literally, they're burnt into my memory banks. And when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to wisdom, we must saturate our minds with it every single day. That's why it's so important that we have a relationship with the Word of God every day, all right? And because we can't afford to forget it. By the way, you come to church every Sunday. You hear it 3 times a week here, or on Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You come to Wednesday night, you hear it again, okay? The Bible speaks of a word that will help us remember it. It's called Bible meditation, okay? That's an important word that we need to get as Christians, Bible meditation. Now, let me just tell you this. Okay, this is deeper level Christianity here. Not everybody does this. Remember we talked about milk and meat? Well, if you want to grow as a Christian, here's a little meat to sink your teeth into. It's called Bible meditation. You say, well, what is that? Okay, it sounds weird and mysterious. All right, no, Bible meditation has nothing to do with lighting candles, sitting in a circle in the lotus position, humming, okay? That's, you know, hum, hum. Okay, no, that's not Bible meditation, okay? Bible meditation is simply where you take the Word of God and you mull it over and over and over again in your mind. Okay? That's Bible meditation. Now listen to me. God has set the Word of God up in such a way that there's certain things, if you're going to get them, you have to meditate upon them. You got to spend time thinking about them. Okay? By the way, you've got to enlist the help of a tutor. By the way, you have that tutor living inside of you. His name is the Holy Spirit. As you begin to think about the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you things about the Word of God, it's amazing how God will enlighten you about the Word of God. But you got to meditate upon it. You got to think about it. Okay? By the way, God gives us 3 specific things that He wants us to meditate upon. 3 specific things. Now, God could have given us a list of 100, but He didn't. He knows us. All right? 3 specific things. We are to meditate upon the Word of God. Okay? Once again, not a big surprise there. We're to meditate upon the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 tells us, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." So meditate upon the Word of God. We're to meditate upon the person of God. The Bible says in Psalm 63:6, "When I remembered thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." You ought to meditate and think about who God is, okay? By the way, you do that sometime, and if you really begin to think about it, you'll begin to understand the awesomeness of who God is and all that He does. You ever spend time thinking about God and who He is? You ought to. I mean, now I'm not saying you're going to understand Him completely, but you ought to spend time meditating upon who He is. Not only that, the Bible says we ought to meditate upon the works of God. Psalm 77:12, "I will meditate also of thy works and talk of thy doings." Think about, meditate upon the things that God does. Now, it takes discipline to meditate. I'll just tell you that. It takes discipline. If there's one thing, and y'all know what I'm saying, because some of you are probably doing it now, and I do it sometimes too, your mind so easily wanders, especially when it comes to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Okay, now let me tell you something. The devil knows this. okay? And he is so good at distracting our minds from the things that we should be thinking about to think about things that either aren't good for us or aren't beneficial for us. You realize sometimes the Bible talks about, David talked about not having vain thoughts or empty thoughts. Okay, you can think about things that may not necessarily be sinful, but they're just, they're good for nothing. They're empty. Okay, and we can spend a lot of time, here's our word for it, daydreaming. Okay, now listen, we got to on purpose decide we're going to use our minds for the things God wants to do. It's called Bible meditation. That's how you forget not the law that he was talking about here. Okay, now let's keep moving here. Not only that, he says this, you are to forsake her not. Okay, forsake her not. Now, too many people today are forsaking things that should be held dear. Sad to say. Husbands are forsaking their wives. Wives are forsaking their husbands. Parents are forsaking their children. Christians are forsaking their churches. On and on the list could go. I would dare say that people who do a lot less forsaking these areas, if they would make a priority in their life, is not to forsake wisdom. If you will say, you know what, I'm not going to forsake wisdom, then you know what you're going to find out? If you won't forsake wisdom, there's a lot of other things you will not forsake. Make a commitment to God that you will not forsake the principles of wisdom. You're going to hold the wisdom like a drowning man would hold onto a life jacket. Don't forsake wisdom. If wisdom gets forsaken, then you know what you're going to find out? The other things in life aren't too far behind. You forsake wisdom, you forsake the Word of God and the principles and living them out, the Word of God, then it won't be long you're going to be forsaking other things. Let me tell you something. A husband who leaves his wife doesn't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to leave my wife. No, you know what? You know what the process is? Long before that, they've forsaken the principles of wisdom. A church member who just decides, you know what? I'm done with the church thing. You know, they don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm done with church. No. You know what it is? It's a process of forsaking wisdom in their life. Okay, so don't forsake wisdom. It will protect you. By the way, that's what it says here. Why should you not forsake wisdom? Because it says this, verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. That word preserve means to hedge about and protect. Wisdom is like a protective wall that keeps things out that you don't want in. Let me tell you something. There's things out there you don't want in your life. I promise you that's true. A lot of things out there you don't want in. Okay, and what protects me from those things? Wisdom. And by not forsaking wisdom, it will protect me from the things that will do me damage in my life. All right, next it says this, excuse me, verse 6, love her and she shall keep thee. All right, the word love there means to have affection for. Okay, by the way, understand this, love is a choice. Okay, love's a choice. You can choose to love wisdom. Now notice here, as your relationship begins to build, your love begins to grow. By the way, is the way it is in a human relationship. Okay? I can honestly tell you that I love my wife today more than I did when we first met 17 years ago. I love her more today. You know why? Because my love has matured. Okay? And as you begin this pursuit of wisdom, at first you may not necessarily have an affection for it. But as you begin to pursue after it, and you begin to see the benefit of having it, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to literally begin to have love for wisdom. Okay? And that's what God tells us to do here. Love wisdom. Okay? Well, we should all, in our lives as Christians, have that love for wisdom. Okay? Pursue after it. Make it the number one priority on your life. You know what you're going to find? Your love won't be too far behind. Okay, why should you love her? Well, once again, just as not forsaking her would preserve you, loving her will keep you. Of course, I've taught you this before. The word keep means to protect. Okay, and I'm gonna promise you this. We'll have a lot less trouble in our life if we would allow wisdom to protect us. I promise you that's true. You know, most of the reasons, not all, but a lot of, a high percentage of, the sufferings we face in life are from the bad choices we've made. And you know what will keep you from that? Wisdom. Because if you love it, it will keep you. It will protect you. All right? Just a couple minutes left. Two more here. All right? Next, it says to do this. It says to exalt her. Look at verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. All right? Verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now the word exalt means what you think it means. It means to mound up. It means to raise. Now I know me and I know human nature. And you know what we humans are good about? We're good about exalting things. But it's not wisdom we're good at exalting. You know what the things we're good at exalting are? It's our stinking selves. Okay? Now, don't look at me like that. Okay? Don't leave me up here hanging. We're all good at exalting ourselves, aren't we? Hey, that comes natural, doesn't it? Okay? But that's not what God says to exalt. Okay? God says you are to exalt wisdom. You're to exalt the things of God. Hey, by the way, it shouldn't surprise us that God's plan is completely backwards from what we as humans think it ought to be. Here's what God says, James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God says the way to being exalted goes through the road of humility. Okay, by the way, let me tell you something. We all could use a good dose of humility from time to time. By the way, if you don't want God to have to kick your feet from out underneath you and humble you, why don't you just humble yourself? That's what God says. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility is the key to exaltation. All right? And we are to exalt and raise up wisdom in our lives, and in turn, wisdom will promote us. But God says, let me tell you what you do. You humble yourself and you worry about me exalting you. And by the way, if you will, God will keep his promise. All right? Exalt wisdom. Make it important. Remember we said it's the principal thing? Lift it up in your life. And last of all, we see this. It tells us to embrace her. Verse 8, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. That word embrace, it means to clasp in the hands. Let me give you an illustration here, and then I'll give you the principle, and we'll be finished, all right? In April 2011, a line of deadly tornadoes ripped across the state of Alabama, leaving 250 dead in its wake. Near Wellington, Alabama, the Hardy family realized the storm was coming too late to find permanent shelter. They considered trying to take shelter in a metal clubhouse, but it had already been turned on its side by the strong winds. In desperation, they took shelter in a small stand of trees. They tied a rope around the children and huddled around them in the trees as the storm passed. A family member said that while they had been scratched by flying dirt and debris, no one suffered serious injury. Now imagine with me, Will, for a minute, how tightly you would cling to the trees and rope in such a situation. The fact that your life and the life of your children might depend upon your grip would give you a motivation you needed to hang on with every ounce of power you could muster. You know why? Because your life and the lives of your loved ones were dependent upon how tightly you gripped that rope. Now listen to me, Christian. If we will get that same attitude about wisdom and understand that our life and the lives of the people underneath us are hanging in the balance all upon how tight we grip the rope of wisdom, let me tell you something. You'd grip wisdom a lot tighter than the most of us do now. Sure we would. Okay, now, although there's no warning sirens or news alerts, each of us are living in the path of destructive storms. Okay? These are the temptations and destructive philosophies of this world all around us. And listen to me, Christian. God says, those days are coming, okay? You will face storms in life, okay? The Bible promises that. And if we had time, we could illustrate that. I'm just telling you, the closer we get to Jesus comes, the more storms as Christians we're going to face. Let me tell you what's going to keep you from getting blown away when that storm rips through. It's how tight you clasp on to wisdom. You better hang on to it. You better hold on to it. You better be like the guy in 2 Chronicles, one of David's mighty men, that he had a battle to fight, and he fought so hard that the Bible says at the end of the battle, his hand clave into the sword, and they had to literally pry his fingers off the handle of that sword because they held onto it so tight. That's how tight we ought to be holding on to wisdom. Like it's our last-ditch lifeline to protect us from being blown away. All right, and if you'll do that, God promises you'll be protected by wisdom. Okay, so what did we learn today? We learned about the teaching of the right things. We learned about the learning of the right things. And we learned about the getting of the right things. So I pray this will be a blessing to you. I pray that you take these things and apply them to your life this week. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for wisdom. God, help us, Lord, to get it. Lord, just like you said, with all of our getting, Lord, help us to pursue it, Lord, and to make it a part of our life. Thank you for it. Bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.